Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us, for gifting us with that childlike faith, trusting and believing in you. Continue to cultivate in us this childlike faith with your words, that we may approach your kingdom with humility and simplicity. Help us to let go of our pride and our worldly attachments, so that we may enter your kingdom with the right hearts and minds. May we always have the innocence and trust of a child when it comes to our relationship with you, knowing that you are our loving Father who always has our best interest at heart. Amen. The text from the Gospel of Luke shows us two kinds of people as far as receiving the kingdom of God is concerned. Luke presented it to us dramatically, contrasting the attitude of children and a grown-up man represented by the ruler towards Jesus. Both these scenarios reveal an important truth about the nature of the kingdom of God and the right posture required to enter it. It also challenges us to search our own hearts and consider what we are willing to give up to fully enter the kingdom of God. During Jesus' time, it was customary for parents to bring their children to a rabbi for a blessing. You may recall that Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to the temple to fulfill the customary rituals of firstborn son dedication. So people were bringing their children, even infants, to him that he might touch them. Despite his disciples' objections, Jesus welcomed the children with open arms, showing that in the kingdom of God, humility and childlike faith are valued above all else. Having a childlike faith is to be free from pride and self-sufficiency and to approach God with a pure and humble heart. This childlike faith mindset is pleasing to God and reminds us that true greatness comes from humility and dependence on God rather than power or prestige. What role does childlike faith play in overcoming your daily challenges? In ancient Israel, we see the childlike faith of David facing the giant Goliath, found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. David wasn't trained a soldier. He was just a teenager who tended sheep. I use this as an example of a childlike faith, not that he is still a kid, but of his complete trust in God. Notice that when he heard Goliath mocking God and his people, David was indignant. Not out of a confident way to impress King Saul or other soldiers, but out of his pure faith. He told King Saul that no one should lose heart because of this Philistine. Your servant, referring to himself, will go and fight him. Then Saul offered to equip him with armor, but David rejected it, bringing with him and relying on what he knew, his sling and stones. But more importantly, his God. David, recalling God's protection of him in the past while shepherding, declared, "The Lord rescued me from paw of the lion, and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hands of this Philistine." I would say this wasn't an arrogance, but it was an innocent confidence of David, who simply believes God's power was greater than any giant. Goliath even laughed at David coming at him with a sling and stone. But David declared, "You come to me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands." And you know the story. David's childlike faith was straightforward, without skepticism, just pure reliance on God's word. David did not magnify the bigness of Goliath, but the bigness of his God, who gave him the victory by recalling how God rescued him from a lion and a bear. He declared confidently, "The battle is the Lord's." What about you? What is your declaration over ill feelings? Over that symptoms? Or maybe diagnosis, and over negativities. Remember, there is power in the name of Jesus. According to how Jesus describes the kingdom of God, you and I must accept it like a young child whose trust is a single-hearted reliance on Christ. When we magnify our giants, with fearful words, we act like the ten spies who made what God has given them look bigger and stronger than God, resulting in them, including their tribe, being barred from entering the promised land. This kind of talk breeds double-mindedness, doubts, and unbelief, and it repels us away from the place God meant for us to enter. When we allow doubts and fears to control our hearts, we become unstable and hinder our ability to receive from God. The Apostle James warns us that asking in faith without doubting is crucial, because doubters are like waves tossed by the wind, unable to stand in their belief. In contrast, Jesus invites us to approach him with the openness and trust of a child. Jesus encourages us to have faith, though small, like a mustard seed, yet powerful enough to move mountains. When we come to God with childlike faith, we can fully receive his blessings and walk in his perfect will for our lives. Let us set aside our doubts and fears and instead approach God with the unwavering trust of a child, knowing that God is faithful and able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. In the following verses, we encounter this ruler who sought reassurance. some way of knowing for sure he will have eternal life. He wanted Jesus to measure and rate his quality of life, or to assign him some works he could do to assure his presence with the Lord forever. So Jesus gave him a task, the task of selling all his possessions and then follow Jesus. One thing the rich ruler, he felt he could not do so because of his riches. Then those who have heard ask, who then can be saved? No one can by his own achievements, was Jesus' implied answer. What is impossible for man is possible for God. For salvation cannot be earned. It is God's gift. Jesus' response made the rich ruler astounded and saddened to learn that his status and wealth bar him from eternal life. He left Jesus feeling like he had lost and been defeated. Other listeners of Jesus also thought of their salvation too and realized that they could not earn it through their own accomplishments. Jesus' words remind us that only God can save us and that we cannot accomplish it on our own. The rich ruler who, despite his outward religious observance and wealth, is unable to enter God's kingdom. But his wealth is not the issue, nor is becoming poor a prerequisite, but his attachment to his worldly possessions has become an obstacle to his spiritual growth. His heart is corrupted by the love of wealth, causing him to prioritize it over his relationship with God. Jesus' challenge to sell his possessions and follow him revealed the ruler's loyalty to his earthly treasures. For it is written, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus calls for a complete surrender and full commitment to follow him for the eternal treasures of God's kingdom over the comforts of this world. Jesus' invitation to let go of earthly attachments reminds us that true fulfillment and contentment can only be found in a relationship with him, not in the accumulation of wealth, if only sets us away from following him. Our gospel reading today presents us with two examples illustrating that receiving the kingdom of God requires us to have a right attitude of our heart. We need to approach Jesus like children with open hearts, unlike the rich ruler that is attached to his riches. Like children, we need to exhibit humility and not be like the rich ruler whose actions reflect pride in his positions and status. And lastly, like children, we shall trust Jesus without condition, and not like the rich ruler who doubts Jesus' words and is unwilling to take the step of faith. The Lord be with you.